Hey, folks, welcome to another episode of Possum's Big Fiddle Show. My special guest today is Mike Miller, Wichita Slim, we call him, over in Elkins, West Virginia. How you doing there, buddy?
All right.
Yeah, all right, good. Tearing it up?
Yep.
All right. What's going on there today?
Well, it's kind of quiet around here because everybody in my household has buggered up to New York City.
Well, I'll be darned. How could they do that to you, leave you there all by yourself?
Well, I got the dog.
Okay, that's true. Hey, I'm looking at something on your back steps over there, right behind you. Is that a bra sitting there on the steps? Oh, no. Yeah.
That's an apron.
Oh, okay, for a moment there, I thought that was a bra.
You know? Yeah, right.
I wonder what had been going on, you know? It's not a bra, though.
No, you want to see the dog? He's over there. Maybe you can see him.
Oh, Andy, yeah. Yeah, dogs get a lot of views, you know. If you get dogs, cats, whatever in your videos, people are going to – maybe he'll come over later and we'll talk to him. We'll interview him. Hey, so, you know, people have been calling this hotline. This hotline number.
Are they wanting fiddle advice?
They're wanting all kinds of things. I don't know what the deal is with these hotline callers, you know. It's like, wow, it's great, though. I can't remember what the number is, though. Can you remember what the number is for my hotline?
I can't
recall what it is. It's kind of embarrassing. I'm sitting here talking about the hotline, and I can't remember my own hotline number. Let's see if I can come up with it here.
I could probably find it because I called it once.
Oh, okay. Maybe you got it in your...
in my phone. Here it is.
Here it is. I've got it.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm going to display it across the bottom of the screen, too.
Oh, good. Okay.
847-920-7587. That's the big number to call.
Yeah.
To comment on anything, you know, ask questions, make suggestions for future programs.
Wait, what? 920-7587?
That's right.
847-920-7587. Right.
That's our hotline number.
I've got it right here.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's great. So, you know, I've been getting calls, and I got a call from this person we both know. You know, Amanda Lynn Stubley.
Amanda Lynn,
yeah,
yes.
Amanda Lynn. She, yep. Her father must have a good sense of humor to name her Amanda. I wish I was named Amanda Lynn, actually.
Amanda Lynn, yeah. Not as bad as the Hogg family in Houston, though.
What were their names?
I'm a hog, and you're a hog.
I hadn't heard about them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's this rich guy down there. Kind of eccentric, I guess.
Yes.
His name was Hogg, H-O-G-G.
Right.
He named his daughters Ima and Yura.
Well, what about George Foreman?
What about him?
He named all of his kids George. He had like seven kids or something, and he named them all George.
What do you do that for?
Well, I guess, you know, it saves on memory. You don't have to remember the kids' names. Hey, what kind of beverage are you having there?
Well, this is Elkins' finest brew. It's actually our local brew here. It's Big Timber IPA.
Yeah.
That looks fine. They put it in these 16-ounce cans. Yes.
So you really get ripped when you drink one? It's
mighty fine. Well, this is my second. So. Okay.
Well, I'm having a little bit of, I'll hold it like you do in a commercial, Anti-Hero Revolution IPA.
Is that a session IPA?
No, it's not. It's a full strength IPA. It's not.
Oh,
a session
okay.
IPA. Let's pop this thing open here.
Yeah, you better. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Yes, we should wet our whistles.
Tastes like flowers. Tastes like delicious little flowers. So,
do you answer the hotline in real time, or do you just make them leave a message?
No, it's all leave a message, yeah.
You can't answer them and talk to them?
Yeah, our legal department here at the Big Possum's Big Fiddle Show has told us we have to warn people it's not a toll-free call. You know, there may be toll charges.
Yes.
And you don't want to use it for emergencies, you know, if your house is on fire or, you know. Don't call the Possum Big Fiddle Show hotline. It won't do a damn bit of good. do you want to listen to this message here? Let's see what we got. Let's listen to this message from Amanda Lynn. She's Canadian.
Okay,
she's Canadian. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. She lives up in London, Ontario, I think. Here we go.
Okay.
Hey, Charlie. It's Amanda Lynn Stubley calling from Fredericton, New Brunswick. I'm thinking of you because you said that your grandfather lives here, which is really neat. I was actually just trying to find your blog about Lawndale Brewing Company and specifically the big pub tour through New York on St. Patrick's Day. Show a friend, and I can't find it. But you could send me a Facebook message or an email if you want. I hope you're well, and you really should come play a house concert sometime. I'll set it up with Shane. Take care. Bye.
Okay. Could you hear that?
Yes. Okay. Did you call her?
I didn't call her back.
Did you tell her?
I sent her a link to our blog. Sent
her a link to the blog?
Yeah,
okay, that's good.
Let's remind folks this momentous achievement.
Well, she's referring to something that happened on St. Patrick's Day in, I believe, 2012.
I think that's right.
I believe that's when it was, because I was living in New York, and you and our good friend Christopher Germain were in town, and we had the brilliant idea. I think this must have been your brilliant idea to have a pint of Guinness in all five boroughs in New York City. On St. Patrick's Day, yes, which was a Saturday, as I recall, yep, that year, right. So that was good. But we had to start early because that's actually a big job to get around to all five bureaus and drink in each one of them.
And we used public transit only, too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, no driving. Oh, God, no. So let's see. We started out in Manhattan, and we went to an Irish... Was it a pub? I guess it was a pub kind of restaurant.
Down south side, south end of the island there, wasn't it?
Downtown a ways, yeah. And they had some big football match on, and they were trying to charge us $20 to come in. But we let them know that we didn't care anything about the football match. It was the Irish team playing somebody. So they let us in for free. So we got our first pint there. That was kind of a breakfast pint. I think we had breakfast at the same time. Then we had to get over to Staten Island. So we had to go down to the far south end of Manhattan and get on the Staten Island ferry and take the boat across. And we had pubs we were intending to go to, but the one we were intending to go to in Staten Island was out of business, or we couldn't find it or something. But fortunately, we found another place that sold Guinness. So we got our pint there. Then we had to get back on the boat, come back to Manhattan. Then we had to get on the subway and go to Brooklyn. That was next, right? Brooklyn.
Yeah, then we made an interesting discovery there in that it's hard to get around in Brooklyn. From where we got dropped off, we had to walk a long way, I remember. A really long way.
That's right. It's brutal, yeah.
It was absolutely brutal. I'm showing pictures, by the way, of this. I'm putting up a picture of this full Irish breakfast we had. Man,
oh, good.
It really looks disgusting. Like, I can't tell. There's something on this plate that just doesn't even look like food. So we started out with this, full Irish breakfast, man.
Heart attack on a plate, they call it.
Oh, man, it was. Yeah, so I'm looking at the place we went in Staten Island. It was called Steiny's.
Steiny's, right.
Yeah, so if people want to go look at this blog, we haven't added anything to it in a long time, but it's lawndalebrewingcompany.blogspot.com. You can go look at what the three of us have accomplished there, the three executives of the Lawndale Brewing Company.
Yeah.
So go ahead. I broke your rhythm. Oh, there's a picture of a really cute gal with green hair too. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, and with the shamrock headpiece.
Yeah, fuzzy shamrock earpiece, right?
Yeah, she was one of the many revelers that we encountered on our day. I think she was coming over to Manhattan from Staten Island to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. I think we went to two bars in Brooklyn. I think We were waiting for somebody and who was got separated from the party, and
that was Patricia, I think.
It was, yes. She was off going to junk shows or something.
Antique,
I don't know,
shops
what.
Or something. Yeah.
So I think we had to hang out in Brooklyn for a while. So I think we went to two bars. I think we had a pint in each one of them.
Yeah, it looks like one of them was called Alibi or something like that.
Alibi. Okay.
Is there like a bell? I don't know. If that's right or not.
That's probably, if it says that.
Yeah.
That was, oh, yes, yes, no. We recorded the trip very faithfully. I'm sure anything it says in there is true.
It's got to be. The Brooklyn Public House, too.
That's right, yeah. And then we went up to Queens. Now, what's the name of the place we went to in Queens?
The picture says the place was called Sinners.
Sinners, that's right. We went to Sinners. And that place was rocking, as I recall.
It was packed. Yeah, it was right. There were people partying their tails off in there.
And it took forever to get from Brooklyn to Queens, as I recall.
God, it was just ridiculous. And there was tons of walking. I mean, like, way more walking than you could have ever envisioned just to get from one place to the next there.
But that was our fourth borough, so we only had one more to go. We had the Bronx. But you can't get to the Bronx from Queens directly. You have to go through Manhattan on the New York public transit system. So we got on a subway, went back to Manhattan, then up to the Bronx. And it was dark by the time we got there. I mean, it took it all day. This was a major, major undertaking.
This was a project.
And we started out with breakfast in Manhattan, and it was dark by the time we got to the Bronx.
Yeah, it was damn near midnight, actually. But, you know, we almost didn't make it.
Almost, yeah. You know,
the idea being to get all these in before midnight, it's an accomplishment.
It's not for the faint of heart.
No, and I think, you know, we're still quite proud of it. We're still talking about it. Heck, people are calling the hotline and asking about it still.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a monumental accomplishment, really.
Yeah,
I'm not sure it's ever been done before.
No, I don't think it's been done before. I don't think it's been done since. It's just too hard. It's like climbing Everest, you know? It's like the Everest of beer drinking.
Well, that's right. Yeah, you do it because it's there.
That's right. And because it's beer. You do it because it's beer.
Yeah. But the first place we went to in the Bronx was so heaving that I think we couldn't even get a pint there. We had to go to another place down the street.
Right.
And they didn't have draft Guinness. That was our only sort of compromise of the whole trip. We had to settle for the cans, those exploding cans. You know the exploding cans of Guinness?
Sure.
It's got a little carbon dioxide canister in the top, and when you pop the top,
it
explodes. That's the only way you can describe it. It explodes.
Yeah, and I was looking at the picture here. I didn't remember this. We were drinking out of plastic cups, too. That's all.
Yeah, I know. I know. That was sad, but
pretty lonesome.
You know, here it was dark, getting close to midnight. You know, we had to achieve the goal.
Well, of course.
Yeah, so we did. We got her done.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to invest in the Lawndale Brewing Company, by the way, we're launching our IPO one of these days. So.
Our IPA?
We're launching our IPA. Yes. You know, that's such a great name for a brewery. I'm amazed no one has, like, jumped on it. But you know, with this evidence we have here, this old blog, we should come out well, good in a lawsuit. We should if somebody does try to use it, we should, let them run with it for a while, get a lot invested in the brand, and then come in and say, hey, we own this brand, baby.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we just got to wait for somebody to do that.
Keep waiting, he says. Just keep on waiting.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an accomplishment, I'll tell you. Whew.
Yeah, I rate that as one of the greatest things I've ever done. Right behind having my children, you know, I put the five boroughs.
I think Patricia didn't come to Staten Island with us, right?
No, she did. She met up with, I don't think she met up with us again until we got the Queen.
I think she went to some antique show in Manhattan, I think.
Right.
And let us go to Staten Island on our own.
Yeah, she abandoned us.
Yeah, so that's why we had to hook up with her in Brooklyn.
Right. I'd never ridden the Staten Island Ferry before. That was fun.
It's cool. And the best part is it's free.
Yeah, it's amazing. People are just wandering on and off of it. There's no gate. There's nothing. You just get on it and go, you know?
Yeah. It used to cost 5 cents, but the price went down.
Really? It was a nickel?
Yeah, for a long time it was 5 cents, yeah. for many years, yeah.
That's hysterical.
And then, yeah, the price went down.
Can't beat that. When's the last time the price of something went down?
It's never happened before.
It's been a long time, yeah. Maybe it's never happened before ever. Except housing during the crash, I guess.
Coop.com, your Coop.com stock. Yeah, I think that went down.
I don't think that shows up on my Ameritrade report anymore, Coop.com. I thought I was going to really make out on that, you know.
Well,
I should have gone with WebMD. I'd have been a lot better off. At least they're getting some money from clickbait, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Dr. Coop, he kind of looked like the old seafarer, didn't he?
He did. He looked like the sea captain, yeah, or sort of like an Old Testament prophet, maybe, mm-hmm. with that chin beard.
Brigham Young, you know, the Mormon guy, Brigham Young, kind of looked like him.
Yeah, Brigham Young, yeah, sort of looked like that. Yeah.
Beard went tight around his chin.
Yeah. The old sea captain. Yeah.
What about the old sea captain? Remember that guy?
Yeah.
We haven't seen him around. Now you're coming to Clifftop this summer, aren't you?
That's right.
We're looking forward.
Yeah, well, it's right down the street from me now.
Well, yeah, it's not a big deal for you to come. You could almost go home and sleep in your own bed every night if you were crazy. Just come for the day, you know.
Yeah, well, you could, yeah. So, yeah, it's good. Yeah, this will be the first time I've gone since living in West Virginia. Which is like, almost heaven.
How you liking living there in West Virginia?
Great. Yeah, it's great. Nice, yeah. Huh? Really nice. Great place. Yeah. Yeah, I think, I think all the old improvident hippies should retire to West Virginia because it's cheap to live here. I mean,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Improvident? Improvident?
Improvident. The improvident, you know, the ones that didn't save enough for retirement.
Right, the ones that weren't.
Here they are living in some, you know, expensive place like California or New York City or whatever.
Sure. Chicago.
They should pick up and move to West Virginia.
They lived like the grasshopper and the ant, you know.
That's right. That's exactly it. Yeah.
They didn't put anything away. They
weren't all the grasshoppers ought to come to West Virginia. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what
anyway, you think that's my take.
Think we should try to play a tune.
Yeah.
All right.
You think?
Yeah. Let's talk about your guitar a little bit, though, man.
Okay. Well, let me get it here. I got it right here. Can you see it?
I can. That is a Jim Dandy.
Yes. This is a Southern Jumbo, which I'm reliably told was built in 1953. I'm told this by. There's a guy here in Elkins named John Rossbach, he's been around the bluegrass scene for a long time.
Yeah.
He's played with Bill Monroe and, you know, he's tagged all the bases, you know.
Sure.
Now he's living here. And I was talking to him a while back about my guitar. He's kind of a guitar geek. And I was talking to him about my guitar. And I happened to mention the name of the person I bought it from. And he said, I wonder if that's the guitar I sold her 20 years ago.
And he's pretty convinced.
He came over to my house and examined the guitar very, very thoroughly, and he declared, "Yes, this is the guitar."
That's pretty. This is the guitar
that he sold her. Right. He owned it for 20 years, and then he sold it to her, and she had it for about 20 years, and I just got it last year, I think.
Man,
a year or two from her. Yeah. So yeah, he was going over, and he said, "You know, he could show me where." You know, this little pin you put the strap on here?
Yeah.
Used to be over here, and you can see the hole. But he moved it over here because he likes to play up here.
Right.
Where us hillbillies generally avoid that area. But you know, he plays stuff up here. So he didn't like this pin being in his way. So he had to move it around.
Right, right.
What else? I had a fret job done on this right after I got it. And he complimented the fret job. He thought my fret job. No, I didn't do it. I had somebody. I had the best guitar guy in Brattleboro, Vermont.
Oh. Okay.
And he filled in some little gouges in the fingerboard. And mm-hmm. So John Rossbach approved of all these things. But he did find a little crack right here that he said was not in it when he bought it. And I should have that looked at. Probably take it to Bob Smocula, who was a... He's the go-to guitar repair guy here,
sure,
in this part of the world, and see if he can see what he can do with that. But it's a great guitar. Sounds really nice. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Hit another lick on that thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Man. Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Southern Jumbo, Gibson. And you know, he was saying, you know, even though it was made in 1953, it has a lot of the characteristics of the Gibsons that were made in the 1930s, mm-hmm. which are considered, I guess, the best Gibsons ever made.
Sure.
J35 and J45. This one's called a Southern Jumbo. Robert Shaver has one of these, too.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, let's play.
I haven't seen his, but I was talking to him about it last time I saw him.
Well, let's play a couple of tunes. You know, we wondered what we were going to talk about for a half an hour, but we've been on here now for 27 minutes. Can you believe that?
The breeze. Well, shoot, we're almost out of time.
I know. The little clock on the wall, you know, says it's almost time to end another fabulous episode of Possum's Big Fiddle Show. And, wow, it's... It's been great. Hey, so I'm going to have to get John to be on a future episode, I think.
You should. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got the gift of gab a little bit, doesn't he?
He's got a lot to say, yeah.
Right, that's what I thought. Okay, yeah. He could reminisce about Bill Monroe and all sorts of things like that.
Oh, he could. Yeah, he's done it all. Yeah.
Well, let me grab my fiddle. We'll play us a tune here.
Okay.
Now, before we play this tune, Mike, promise me you'll come on the program again sometime.
I don't know. I've already told you everything I know. So maybe if I learn some new stuff between now and then, I can do it. Okay. It's a deal.
All right. Now people say you can't play over Skype, but you and I have been doing it for years now.
That's right.
And, you know what we could do in the future? We could have a mandolin episode and just play mandolin tunes at each other.
Yeah, so I think we should.
That'll come up. Maybe I would even wear the mule mask for that. But how Mike and I play with one another on the Skype is one guy has to start and the other guy plays along. So in this case, since I'm on this end, Mike's going to have to start, and I'm going to play along the melody while he's playing the accompaniment. Sometimes we do it the other way, where I start the tune, and he plays, and I have to turn my speaker down because of his delay. It's complicated, folks, but we're going to make it work one way or the other here. So I think we should try the old Westphalia Waltz in G.
Okay.
How's that
right.
sound? All right.
So Let's do it.
You have to give me a little, you know, kickoff.
Okay. I'll do some. Here you go.
Wasn't too bad. Should we try an up-tempo number?
Yes, I think we should. What's it going to be?
I don't know. What should it be? Wait, what's that? Robert E. Lee.
Oh, yeah.
An F.
One of our greatest hits, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you could sing a little bit of it, too.
Well, would you like?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Start out in the key of F.
Yeah, yeah. Give me a little kickoff.
Okay. Give you some taters here. Here we go. See them all while they are waiting. The banjos are syncopating. What's that they're saying? What's that they're saying? While they are humming and swinging and swaying, it's the good ship Robert E. Lee that's come to carry the cotton away. See them shuffling along. Watch them shuffling along. Go get your best gal, a real pal. Go down to the levee, I said to the levee. Join that jubilant throng. Hear that music and song. It's simply great, mate. Waiting on the levee, waiting on the Robert E. Lee.
Hey!
Yeah.
Beautiful. Nice ending.
We could go on, but
wait, nice ending.
Which one?
Well, Mike, say goodbye to everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody, goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
All right. Thanks, folks. Tune in next time.
Next time.
And
okay. And call the fiddle hotline. What's that number again?
What's that number again? I'll put it up on the screen.
Okay.
And we're clear.
All right.